Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it.
This one, ministry burnout, I feel like you can come at it from multiple different angles, right? And I think in a general sense, most people are going to say, and I mean, I find it very hard to believe people wouldn't say, yeah, burnout is not good, like take care of yourself, right? But in actuality, how we practice our lives, how we practice ministry, are we saying that it's important for us to make sure we're not burning out? Because I think in some senses, and I've literally heard this say, I've literally heard people say how ministry is difficult, and if they can't hang, you want to, you like, just get them out early. So it's just kind of like, just put them through the fire. Like, this is just how it's going to be. Like, and it's kind of like, you just
disagree,
right? No. Yeah. And so it's one of those things to where it's like, hey, like, yeah, ministry's difficult. Like, I burn out now or burn out later. Like, so I'd rather you just burn out now, type of deal. And it's kind of like, oh, that's not cool.
I don't think that's good advice at all. But yeah, it is super common though.
Yeah.
Like burnout's a real thing. And so we'd be, it'd be wrong not to talk about it.
Exactly.
And maybe help people, understand it and maybe be able to get through it.
Yeah.
And avoid it.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, again, I think where it happens in the most sense, because most of us would say, yes, burnout is not good. A lot of times we don't realize we're overdoing it until we pull back, until we take a break. It's a very common thing, especially within America.
Yeah.
For people.
Yeah, people get burned out on their jobs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's very common for people to get sick on vacation. And it's because they're go.
Yeah.
Right. And then they actually finally get a moment to relax and their body's like, oh, okay, I've been holding on to this.
Yeah. You could say we live in a culture of burnout.
We do. Yeah, exactly. We live in a hurry culture.
Yes.
And so
which leads to burnout. Yeah.
And so it's one of those things to where we kind of have to readjust and reshift. We have to shift our mindset.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why, again, I feel like Jesus kind of came where he did, and why we see the cultures that we see within scripture, because I think it speaks to some of these things.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that as believers, we need to be married more towards the what God teaches than our culture and the ways of our culture. Yeah. Like, we need to be able to, we can't make our culture an excuse for not doing what God tells us to do.
Ooh. That's good.
I mean, that's if
we cannot
make our culture the excuse for not, we can't just be like, oh, well, it's just a different culture now. Okay. But there's a reason.
Well, there's a reason. He says set apart.
Exactly.
Set yourself apart.
Come on now.
Like, do not be like the culture of this world, but that is battle.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're going to be pushed by the culture of this world, and that's in the church, in our own walk with God, but all just because of we're in culture, but also within the church, because the church is somewhat adapted to the culture.
Exactly. And what's it called? We see time and time again throughout the scripture that pretty much every single hero of the faith, all these moves that we see within scripture, a lot of them are countercultural. Like, we love this idea of being countercultural.
right? For a while, we weren't counter.
Right.
Because, you know, we've been in a Christian nation before, so to speak. So then it wasn't as counterculture, but I feel like now it's,
we're back to counterculture again. Exactly. well, and I would even again say that just even within that, there are certain things that are just, I mean, speaking in America, for example, within a Western American mindset and culture, that they just don't fit.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit, or it makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to say that, look, I am going to lean more on what God is teaching me and trying to be faithful to his word,
yeah,
and his practices, than making sure it fits and, you know, our culture and the culture that we live in. Yeah. We can't just write it off as though it doesn't work now because of our culture.
Right. Can't do that anymore just because this is how it is.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because there's some things that we're willing to just kind of write off that are and go for that countercultural, but it's the things that we like that, or the things that we feel more connected to, or that give us value, worth, identity. Those are the things that I feel like we can hold on to still.
Identities.
That's a big one.
It's a
challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. So what's it called? So with that all being said, let's kind of talk a little bit about this idea of burnout and what are some things that burnout in relation to unity, how these things work together. And so, or I should say work against each other, really, because I feel like unity is a great, mitigator. It's a great antidote and medicine towards burnout. And so, so starting with that, there's this one, my notes, there was this one thing that was put out when it comes to, I get a email from this entrepreneur, business deal, and they threw out an email talking about why entrepreneurs burn out. And they had three things on here as far as why most entrepreneurs burn out. And I was just thinking, man, this relates so well to church burnout or ministry burnout and unity within the church. And so starting with number one, they say they're trying to do everything themselves. From marketing to customer service to product development, they wear every hat, and eventually the weight of it all becomes too much. They wear every hat, and the weight of it all becomes too much. When you one former youth pastor to another, how many ministry hats did you wear?
Or church planner,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah, one youth minister, church planter to another.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, I've definitely worn many hats.
Right.
In most of the churches I've been a part of.
Yeah,
because I've generally been part of smaller churches that don't have positions for everybody.
Yeah,
and so. Just filling in where needed and trying to do like set up, tear down team, worship team, youth ministry team, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's one of those, oh man, okay. I'm just going to be honest.
We should do that.
Well, why not? Right.
Let's be honest.
I'm just going to be honest. Okay. Someone has paid for your organization's success. Someone has paid for it.
Yes.
And by that, especially when we're talking churches, right? Ministry burnout, or whether you're a para church ministry or whatever it may be, somebody has paid for that success. And by that, I mean, somebody has put in a lot of blood, sweat, tear, time, equity.
Yeah.
Right. They've put in a lot of elbow grease, a lot of something. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of, and it's funny because we just had a conversation of, you know, the small church, big church, and kind of what we learn and differences from each other. I've never known a ministry that got really big where you couldn't talk to a leader and them tell you either they had like an enormous amount of free time, because maybe they weren't married or whatever it may have been, or
to put into it.
Yeah. You know. To put into it, or family suffered.
Oh, right.
Like that there was a season at least, like maybe they're good now. Like maybe family's good now. Right.
Yeah.
But there was at least a season.
Right. Where because they have to learn. Suffered. They have to learn where the boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through that.
Yeah.
And definitely my family did suffer.
Yeah.
For a time because I was like, doing everything and I wasn't setting any kind of boundaries.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had that time, but then you can learn to not do that.
Yeah. You can learn to, but at the same time, like there's that personal side of it, of learning to set the boundaries. But when it comes to the success of an organization side, that time has to be put in.
Yes. It can't be successful without it.
It can't be successful without it. Like, it's just, it's one of those things to where, look, that time is going to be put in. And so the reason I bring that up is this: a lot of times we'll see success of these big organizations or whatnot, big ministries, mm-hmm. think those that get successful, somebody somewhere is putting in that time, sweat, blood, tears, finances, like somebody's putting that in there. Right. Sometimes that is at the detriment to the person whose heart is fully behind it, the entrepreneur or the founder or whatever, to the detriment of their relationships, their family, because if no one else is doing it, they're going to do it. Right.
Right.
Because that's where their heart is. But this is where unity comes into play.
Yeah. Because unity is like how many. So there's a set amount of hours that need to be put in.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are doing it?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Is it just two people or is it?
Or can we all, can we get rally a group around this to where now, okay, now this 100-hour mandate isn't falling on one person to work an 80-hour week, right? And now it's split up and people are sharing load, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where unity comes in. But I feel like this is something that we just need to recognize, that a lot of times with organizations, like there is, if you want it to be successful, you want it to be healthy, when it comes, and I know I keep on using the word organization, and it's mainly because I don't want this to just be captured with what we know of as a typical Sunday gathering, mm-hmm. Ministry, church organization, right? Because this is also parachurch ministries. This is also, if you're a Christian business owner, meaning like you're a Christian and you own a business, not that your business itself is Christian, but you're a Christian, you own a business, you are running a ministry, you are running a church, and getting that going, the time has to come in somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. I think it's more time than most people recognize.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did you hear, especially as a youth minister, I love it because youth are just more clear and blatant about it. Like, what do you do? Like there's this assumption that all you do is show up that Wednesday night.
There's no prep work or anything.
Nothing, right?
And you're not also serving on Sundays.
But there's kind of like this expectation of that. This is when ministers work. Ministers work on Sunday morning and the midweek Bible study, and then the rest of the week they're good to go,
just
right?
Out. Like hanging out at a coffee shop.
That's not how it works, guys.
Sometimes.
so I think there's more time than people recognize that has to be put into something, and then how many people are sharing that time? Because I mean, I can think of ministry after ministry where it's, man, like, yes, awesome, they're at a great place now, but now we kind of have to go back and fix some stuff that you know, got drug along because somebody had to be putting in that time and work, and other areas of their life specifically suffered. So it's interesting because this is one of the things, I mean, right at the top of this, entrepreneurs, they get burned out because they're trying to do it all themselves.
Why is that, right?
Why? Because it has to get done.
Well, some of it's because it has to get done.
Yeah.
And some of it can be, and I've noticed this for myself, is why I'm saying this. Some of it can be they're not willing to delegate it.
Yes. Yes.
Because like, I'm going to do this better than that person over
Absolutely.
There. And I ran into that a lot in ministry where I was like, well, I know I can do that good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I know I can do it better than that other person. Mm-hmm. So I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
Even though, and that was actually a real big leadership learning thing for me, is if someone can do something 80% as good as you,
do it,
then let them do it.
Yeah.
And probably less than that, honestly, especially in a small church setting.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, and what is that? We'll get back to it again, right? Pride. Always pride.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's the constant driver of our misery.
Pride. And I want to be generous in that it can also come from a place of sometimes people have a mindset of, no, we're going to make sure we're giving God our best. Right. And yes. I can do this the best. So I'm going to be the one doing. And so
there's good there.
There's some good there.
We want to give God our best.
Yeah. We want to give God our best. Sometimes, though, we have to recognize that there's only so much of the best to go around.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have to make sure that while we want to give God our best in all these different things, that by doing the best here, best here, best here, best here, best here, you are no longer at your best.
Yeah. Or your family's not.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're not giving your best to your family, which I know God wants for us.
Right.
Which I've definitely been guilty of.
Exactly. And so we have to prioritize. And I think that's something that time and time again, we kind of have to come back to and say, okay, what are our top, you know, what's our top 1, 2, 3 priorities?
Yeah.
If you're going more than that, a lot of times, okay, we just have to recognize it's not going to be at the best.
Yeah.
Right. And so, prioritizing so that we can make sure, okay, we are giving our best in these things. And I think what's funny about it is we'll look at that. And I think sometimes, especially as an entrepreneur, as a minister, I can even say this, that it's like, okay, I'm doing these things, right? But am I doing enough? Am I doing enough?
That's an identity thing, right?
Right. And that can be an identity thing. That can be a concern because you feel like, oh, but I could be doing more. Should I be doing more? Should I also be doing this and doing that? But then we start loading up the plate to where now those top few things that should have our best, that are the priority, now those start to diminish because we want to be able to say we're doing more. We want to be able to say we do this, right?
And churches as a whole can fall into that trap.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because absolutely.
We want to try, and this is actually where a good church unity piece too, is as a church, we can do every ministry out there. Mm-hmm. But we can, like you just said, like if we don't have our top three and that's like the main thing we're focusing on, you're going to do everything really poorly.
Yeah.
And you're going to get burned out.
Yeah.
And that's where like unity of knowing what other churches are doing. Like not every church has to have a food bank.
Yeah.
Not every church has to have a homeless ministry. Not every church has to have whatever ministry.
Addiction recovery. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where like we work together to know like, oh, that church is doing that. Let's do this and let's do our three things. And then that way all the churches work together in unity to accomplish all the things that need to happen.
Exactly.
But I see that happen a lot in churches, I think, is they try to do every ministry.
Yeah.
And that's just like a recipe for burnout. Mm-hmm. And they're all good.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing.
Great ministries.
It's like, like you just said, it's like, well, can I be doing more? Cause I know I could try and I'll put myself into this and we can achieve more good.
Mm-hmm.
But at what cost?
Yeah. And then I think another thing is that leaders are generally 10 steps ahead. Right. Mm-hmm. So however many months, years you want to say that ends up being, we see that this is a ministry that needs to be done. Right. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see that a year or two before other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, okay, this needs to be done. There's no one to do it, but it needs to be done. And sometimes we have to wait and we have to be, oh, that P word. We have to have patience. Right.
Yeah.
We have to have patience for someone else to step into that role. We can even talk about it needing to be done. Right. Possibly. But making it clear, someone else needs to step into that role. And I think we look past this example so often, and what the apostles did when it came to setting those first deacons, recognizing this is a need. This is an issue, but we cannot take away our time from devoting ourselves to prayer and the word. And so them knowing what their priorities were, right? And then saying, this is an issue. You guys, who can lead it?
Yeah.
Right. And they put it out there. And I think within scripture, it's like, we see it's like, okay, they said it, they got these deacons, and to us, it's like, this all happened within an hour. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, boom, boom, boom. It's all taken care of. That's not always. Sometimes it seems like there's one passage in scripture where literally 400 years passes, like in one verse, 400 years passes, yeah. right? And so I'm not saying this may have happened within an hour. They may have been right on top of it, but there's times
when we don't know where the time frame.
We don't know the time frame, and but we need to still be willing to stick with the principle of we are not going to move forward with us doing this. And so as long as it takes to get to that next verse, right? Like as long as it takes to get to that next verse, we're going to put it out there. We're calling for people to step into this role, but we are not going to do this. And that's tough.
It is tough because it's easy to see all the needs.
Absolutely.
Like so easy.
Absolutely.
I was actually had this in my point, like we want to be doing those things because the opposite end of that is we don't do anything, which I think can also lead to burnout because we feel like we're not accomplishing anything.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Because that we are called to do that out. And I think a lot of churches actually struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard something about just evangelism in church, 93% of, or it was like 93 or it was a high night. It was in the 90s.
Okay.
Percent of churches feel like they don't do evangelism well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not doing the out. Like they want to.
Yeah.
And so there's two sides of that.
Yeah.
We can either be
too
doing
much.
Way too many things or we can be doing not anything.
Yeah.
And both of those things will burn you out.
Yes. And it's funny because in actuality, it's not even a matter of whether or not you're doing something, but you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah.
Because you could actually be doing some good stuff. But if you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything, oh, that's so draining. That is so draining. That will absolutely eat at you and that will burn you out.
Well, and sometimes we don't cut things that aren't really working and we just continue on this path because it was a good idea at the time or maybe it did work for a while.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of churches get stuck in those kind of things too, or we've been doing this ministry for 20 years and so we're going to keep doing this even though it's burning everybody out.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing the fruit that was there.
Yeah.
And so there it can be overwhelming actually to look at all the needs.
Yeah.
But again, that comes back to that, like, how can we do like one or two, three things really well? And then there's going to be probably fruit that comes from that and that purpose that comes from getting something done.
Yeah.
But also you're not spread so thin that you're wearing yourself out and the people around you.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that comes back to this idea of, okay, know your priorities, delegate the rest, and be patient, like being willing to wait on those other things. 'Cause it's tough. It's tough. And I think that comes from the leader side of it, right? Like knowing your priorities, delegating the rest, and patience for those things to get picked up. On the other side of things, it's this idea of, We need to not expect these people who are the professionals to do it all, right?
Yes.
we see this in ministry all the time, right? Talking about the paid professional Christians, the paid professional ministry.
Right.
We can't expect them to do it all. It's not sustainable with them doing it all. And if we make them do it all, they will burn out.
Well, and their job is really the equipping job.
Exactly.
They're equipping the saints to do the work of the Lord. Saints are everybody else. The people who are following Christ.
Yeah.
So their job is to bring together, equip. Their job is not to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, I feel like in some sense, this is also a call just for those who are they are resisting. I'm just going to go ahead and say resisting. They are resisting this prompting to step into serving more. Whether it's stepping into ministry in some sense, step into serving in some way, step into a calling perhaps on their life.
Yeah.
They're resisting some urge. And I want to say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
They are.
What this in this sense, what we're talking about right now, this is not, that's not just a matter of evangelism. Right. And knowing that the harvest is plentiful, but knowing when God says the laborers are few, like we need more laborers in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right. The resistance of not stepping in and serving, that's what leads to there being these areas that aren't getting picked up and aren't getting picked up and people being burned out. Because I don't know very many ministers who, if you told them right now that you could give them some dedicated, some people who would be dedicated to serving them in some way and helping mm-hmm. them in some way, that they wouldn't say, oh, absolutely, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's always work to be done.
Well, and usually the case, I'd be interested to see the actual stat on it. We could probably look it up real quick,
yeah.
But it seems a lot, like 10 to 20% of the people are doing 100% of the
oh,
things,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So that 10 to 20% is getting burned out because they're mm-hmm. doing everything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's opportunity for other people to come alongside. 80% of the people, are you looking it up?
Yep.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that is. To come alongside them, and then everybody is doing hardly anything. I've always liked that. I don't think it's actually a Bible verse, but I've heard it many times. The many hands make light work.
Yeah,
and it's just so true. Have you ever tried to move a house all by yourself versus getting 20 people together? Holy cow, what a difference! And so I think when we can really work in unity in that way, churches are very successful when they can employ a lot of people to help.
Okay. This may be a whole conversation that we need to have, because I found this one article talking about 20 surprising statistics.
I'm sure there's a bunch of them in there. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that specific one in there?
I am not seeing it yet. Okay. I saw the notorious one about giving.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up,
okay.
I'm going to go into some things I wrote down for today. Just some other ways to maybe prevent burnout.
Okay.
And I think one of the big ones is not enough time with God.
Mm.
I think oftentimes we get into ministry, and this was true for me too at times, and we're so busy with all the busy stuff that we're not actually doing the time with God that we need to be doing. And if you look at what Jesus did, he was constantly going away to be with the Father. He's constantly going away to receive from his Father so that then he could go and do the work.
Yeah.
And we have this in our discipleship. It's just a balance between rest and work. And you see that even like the Sabbath day, taking that rest day and making it holy, like really taking it seriously so that you can do the work. Like we are called to work.
Yeah.
And like you said, like
we're called to,
I see the thing and I want to get it done and I'm going to work on it.
Yeah.
But if we're not ever taking a rest, we will get burned out in no time.
Well, and we have to say, we're also called to rest.
We are called
to both.
He gave it to
us.
And he said,
we're called to both.
Sabbath was made for man.
Exactly.
Not for God.
Yeah.
And I think he calls us to be in relationship with him on that day, but it is made for us to get that time to set aside time to really like rest our bodies and charge up. And
look,
and
if something made the top 10 commandments, when there's hundreds of them.
Right. Yeah. That's a big one. That's important.
We need to pay attention.
And I did pull a couple of verses up to this because this is time for us to go and be with God and receive. And he says in Matthew 11:28, says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. And Psalms 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And so those are both like up movements. Like we need to be moving up so that we can then move out. And sometimes we get really focused on, what are all the good things I can do? And we forget where the power comes from to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just encouragement I have, is a unity with God, so to speak. If we're not in unity with God, we're going to have a really hard time. Well, he even says this. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Exactly.
So as soon as we stop really going to him all the time, we're not going to get very far, and we will get burned out.
Yeah.
So that's a big one that came up for me when I was just getting into it, as you're looking for that. Because I've definitely had times where my uptime with God just slipped away, and I used busyness as an excuse. And like, well, I'm doing all these good things. I don't have time to just sit and read my Bible or pray. And that is a recipe for burnout for sure.
Mm. What's it called? I had to look up this verse because of what you just read, and this one always pops up to my mind when thinking about this. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep.
Mm. Which one is that? What is it?
That's Psalms 127, 2.
Nice.
It is in vain. And that kind of goes back to, again, that saying that you'll hear me say all the time, God can do more with our worst than we could do with our best.
Yeah.
And just realizing that our job is to be faithful. He's the one that grows the fruit, right? And so...
you'll be overwhelmed if you think of all that can be done.
Exactly.
Because the ministry of God is huge. Enormous.
Yeah.
And none of us are going to be able to do it alone. That's why we need each other as the church. Yeah. And we need to just focus on the things that he's putting right in front of us.
Yeah.
And be willing to take the rest that he's given us so that we can achieve them well.
Yeah.
There's always going to be more things to do.
There's always going to be more things to do. And it's finding that divine balance, that beautiful balance that we see displayed in Jesus, that we see displayed through heroes of the faith within scripture, but mostly in Jesus. He's just marvelous at this. And he's marvelous at everything. But he shows us this divine balance with being about his Father's business, being hard at work, and also resting.
Yeah.
Right?
He was sleeping in the boat.
Sleeping in the boat, right? Yeah, right. And so, like, it's we have to be those that are willing to be go-getters and work hard. But we have to have that balance and that that rhythm of where we're resting and we're working from that place of being, rather than just the, like you said, the do cycle and doing and doing and doing and burning ourselves out, rather than working from our rest rather than resting from our work.
I've actually had a hard time with that right now because I'm in this in-between ministry state. Which we've talked about before. If you want to hear about it, go back. But I'm not as involved in ministry right now as I have been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's that kind of tension where I'm like, oh, I should be doing more. But then I realized that, no, God's building something new and I need to do this groundwork that I'm doing right now, which is fundraising and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm doing this groundwork right now to get there.
Yeah.
And that's okay because I believe there'll be fruit at the end of that.
Yeah.
That will be great. And there's fruit in it now for me in understanding this, like it's okay to I've done enough.
Yeah.
I've done enough, but I haven't done enough.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Like you're enough to God because you're his child.
Mm-hmm.
But he does want you to do things.
Yeah.
So isn't that, that's the big crux, right?
That we're always, right. Divine
that's
balance.
The battle we always have between faith and works, right?
Yeah.
Is that, we think that, we need to do works or we're not doing enough works. And he says we don't need that, but then he does ask us to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, right? Yeah. We're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can I not be defined by works, but also be asked to do works? And I think it's works is what is it. I always think of works as an overflow.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like works is an overflow of our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are in relationship with him, the works will just come. Yeah. Like we won't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
It'll just be something that flows out of us because of the work that he's done in us.
Yeah.
And that's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
It's a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah. Well, and definitely a hard one to practice.
And hard one to practice.
Yeah.
In this society too.
Yeah. Yeah. Even harder to practice. I feel like we can kind of get our minds there sometimes, and we can talk about how there needs to be that overflow from being and finding that balance and knowing we need both. But man, when it comes to putting it into practice, it's kind of like the rest of Christianity, right? I mean, we can understand and take hold of.
Needs to move from here
to here.
Here,
right?
Head to heart.
And then out through the hands and the feet, right?
Yeah. Head to heart first.
And that's tough. Did you have another one? I had two more points, and
I do have another one. I think the other one is so we have a discipleship that has an up, in, and out model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the idea that the up is the time, what I just talked about.
Yeah.
The in is that time with other disciples,
yeah,
other people that know Jesus and that you can be with. And I think oftentimes in ministry, we silo ourselves out from mm-hmm. other people. And this is also a unity piece, right? Yeah. Especially if you're in a church leadership position,
yes.
It's really hard sometimes for us to admit when we need help.
Yes.
And go to someone in your congregation or just, or in your life group or whatever yeah. it is, or another church, which yeah. is what I'm trying to do as yeah. bring youth leaders together for that purpose.
Yeah.
But being willing to go and receive from someone else mm. too, and then get that community piece that God made us for, yeah. I believe. And so that end time, like if we're not getting that, you're going to get burned out really fast.
Yeah.
You need people to pray with you mm-hmm. and for you.
Yeah.
I recognize that even more as I'm doing what I'm doing too. Like I need to invite, there's this tendency so easily for us at any time to be like, I just need to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. God's called me to do this, called me,
yeah.
you know? And it's like, no, he's called you to do it in tandem with what yeah. everything else he's doing with everybody else. And so bring those people in and you pray for them and they'll pray for you mm-hmm. and we'll all work together to get to accomplish the thing that you're trying to do. Yeah. And so, always have to reset that and be like, mm-hmm. okay, who do I need to reach out to when I'm being discouraged because I'm going through this process and it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Like who can I need to reach out to someone and be like, hey man, can you pray with me right now?
Yeah.
And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to get burned out
mm-hmm.
because it feels lonely. And yeah. and that's and I think that's a tool of the enemy, mm-hmm. like to isolate us
absolutely
and separate us from God and from the people that will support us and encourage us in that time.
Yeah.
And so so that's a big one, I think, too, yeah. is that end time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, you're touching on one of those myths of community and belonging also in that and saying the end. When you're in ministry, sometimes you're spending, I mean, we've heard it say that sometimes ministers have a hard time spending time with people other than Christians, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you're always kind of surrounded. Out. Yeah, you're kind of always surrounded by them, but that doesn't mean that you're having that community, that intimate yeah. relationship that we're talking
it
about.
It takes intentionality.
It takes intentionality.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, one of those myths of community and belonging is the more time you spend with people, then the deeper your relationship is.
Yeah.
But you can stay surface level with someone.
Oh, yeah. Intentionality and vulnerability.
Exactly.
That's the piece that's exactly. really hard for people.
Right? You can spend 40 hours a week next to a coworker.
Talk to you all day long and
right?
talk about all the good things of God.
Exactly.
And not tell you that I'm struggling with this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And so, I mean, how many times have we had a coworker or something where we're in the office with them or we're working with them, you know, 20 plus hours a week, maybe 40 hours a week, but we don't know them outside mm-hmm. of work.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't really say they're a close friend. Like just spending time with people doesn't mean that you're with them.
Yeah.
So
on a deeper level.
On yeah. a deeper level. So, yeah, I think that's big, especially on that end to recognize. Yeah. It's not just spending, quote unquote, time with other disciples, but that intentional, intimate time yeah. with others.
Yeah. And I have a verse for this, Galatians 6:1-2. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Mm. And that's us yeah. Sharing those things that yeah. we're battling to. But watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. But yeah. right here, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm.
We need there to we be go. Carrying each other's burdens
there we
to,
go. Get,
to not suffer the burnout.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is unity.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Okay, I'm gonna rattle off my last two here from this article that was the Entrepreneur Network whatnot sent, and it was they're chasing shiny objects,
mm-hmm.
right? So they jump from trend to trend, hoping to find one thing that works. Instead, they end up spreading themselves too thin, and then they don't have a clear, sustainable plan for growth. So,
oh, actually my last one kind of goes with that.
Yeah.
Which so. Is like, yeah, if we're not aiming at something,
mm-hmm.
we're going to fail burnout because we're like, where are we going?
Yeah. Where are we going?
Like having that like clear, like vision or something to go towards
absolutely.
And be like, this is where we're headed. This is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And
that kind of ties back in yeah. with that idea of feeling like you're accomplishing something. If you don't
right.
feel yourself
you feel like
closer,
you're just turning your wheels yeah. or something. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And then, I mean, making it a sustainable plan is again recognizing, kind of going back up to that, like, is this something you can do for a long time? I think sometimes we can tell ourselves this is a season, right? And there's mm-hmm. we're gonna go through seasons, right? Yeah. But just even then, like, you need to know whether or not this season is sustainable enough for how long you're planning it to be, mm-hmm. and how long can you sustain that? Give yourself a roadmap, give yourself a plan. And so I think, yeah, making something sustainable, like you said, bringing people in, delegating, recognizing the needs and making sure that those needs are, if you plan something out, then you can say, like, okay, this area, this section, this plan B part of our plan is going to require this new hire, right? Mm-hmm. Or this many volunteers. And then you can say, we're not stepping into B until we get those people, mm-hmm. right? And then that way, you know, it's sustainable versus right. jumping into it and then just hoping that right. the pieces that will make it sustainable are, yeah. are catching up. What's it called? The chasing shiny objects. That's a tough one. That comes back to discipline, vision, mm-hmm. like being able to say,
maybe even letting culture yeah. dictate where you're going rather than God.
Yeah. Right. And like just being able to stick with and know, again, I think this can kind of come back to, if you're chasing after results all the time, like you're chasing after this fruit, mm-hmm. Then that will take you off track. Think about it. One of the big things that the enemy tempted Jesus with, he tempts him with his fleshly hunger, right?
Yeah.
So kind of a comfort sense. He tempts him with his identity. And so if you guys aren't sure what I'm talking about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness 40 days by the enemy, yeah. By the devil. He takes him through three major temptations. And then that last one was a shortcut. Mm. Yeah. It was, here's all
this
fruit.
This could all be yours.
Here's the fruit, right? Like this, you're coming for these people. You want them to recognize you as their king, mm-hmm. right? You want them to bow down to you. I'm going to give it all to you.
Yeah. Right? I'll make it easy on you.
I'm going to give you all the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah.
Right. But
well, if we live in a shortcut culture.
For we sure. are living in a shortcut yeah. culture, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a shortcut versus Jesus being faithful.
Yeah.
Right. And so we need to make sure that we're not chasing after just the results and chasing after what's shiny and whatnot and
yeah.
trying to stay that course and be faithful. Mm-hmm. And that's where also that community piece comes in, because sometimes we can question, should I be staying faithful at this, like with this? I'm not seeing where this is going. And
it's not where I want it to be.
It's not where I want it to be. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Now. Oh, man, I just went
It's not
that.
Where I went. Oh, man.
I was getting all discouraged. Right? Like, this isn't where I want it to be. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, but it's going.
Yeah, but it's going. So it's having those around you that can remind you, and do write this down. Like that's something yeah. you're going to hear time and time again from almost any type of personal growth, leadership yeah. development, organizational leader. Like you need to write things down and mm-hmm. write down what you're going after.
Yeah.
Write down what the goal is.
Put the things in front
and
of you.
So that way those shiny things don't deter you from it.
Right.
Right. And you can just stay focused on that. On the roadmap to that.
It's almost like the waves, like when Jesus is calling yeah. Peter out on the water and he gets yeah. out on the water and he's doing fine when yeah. he's looking at Jesus. That's a fix your eyes on Jesus thing. And then he starts looking at the shiny objects, which is the waves coming in, which is going to happen no matter what ministry. And there's going to
yeah.
be waves.
Yeah.
There's going to be challenges. And that's when he starts to sink.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus has to pull him back out.
Pull him out.
Why'd you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same thing. Parable of the sower, right?
Yeah.
Casting the seed, and then all of a sudden they get choked out by the cares and concerns of this world, mm-hmm. right? And it's just one of those things to where, yeah, we have to maintain that focus, and we need people around us who are going to help us maintain that focus, and also divine balance, right? Have that ability to where we're pliable and where we can shift, because not one person, I've never met one person who knew exactly where they were going and what they were doing when they were 10 years old or 20
or 30. Or even if they did, it's not
yeah.
the same.
Yeah. Or 30 or 40.
They thought they right? did.
Yeah. Or 50. Like most of the time we can kind of have something in mind, but exactly how that's going to end up and how we're going to get there, I mean, what it's going to look like when we're yep. there, it's, that's hard. And yep. so we need people who can also help us in that and be able to say, do we need to adjust things? Do we need to remain faithful and stay the course? And, you know, not help us to not get chased off by those shiny things.
Yep.
Sometimes they're not shiny. Sometimes they're sharp.
So, sometimes they're both.
Sometimes they're both. Yeah, sharp and shiny. all right. So I think, do you have a last thought? Because I think we're out of time here.
That was it. That was it. The last okay. one. It lined up with your last one.
So nice. Awesome. Okay. I want to close this in prayer. I think it's really big when it comes to you're looking at this idea of burnout and the things that can burn us out. A lot of them come back to really this sense of pride, control, trying to make things happen. And we need yep. patience and we need to work together. Yep. Sometimes
we need power.
We need, yeah.
We need the power, which is the right. prayer, right?
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah.
And we need purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power, patience, and purpose. That's power, like a patience, three, the three P's.
Power, patience, power, patience, purpose, and people.
Oh,
right. Cause we need each other.
Yes, four
right?
P's.
And we need, and so, and I think that, people, that is yep. big, especially from every angle. That P is very big from every angle, because you need to recognize sometimes you need to be that people that people need sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even just picking up a little thing. Again, I don't know why I'm talking to somebody who's maybe hesitating to serve, hesitating yep. to step into ministry. I don't know what it is.
Yep.
If we're stepping on your toes or something, let us know that way we don't just think we're crazy.
right.
That there is that sense of, and again, once you be part of the conversation, right? So there's that sense of sometimes you stepping into that role is what's going to help prevent burnout
for others.
Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to help each other out in that sense. It's a group effort.
True in kids ministry.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
They always need people in right. kids ministry. If you got a heart for kids, please
come
go,
on now.
Please go join your kids right. ministry. So they, give those people a break.
Come on now. all right, let's close.
And I'm prayer. Not saying that as a kids, because I wasn't a kids ministry person no. myself. I just know that's a tough ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, because I mean, every time that I've helped like fill in,
mm-hmm.
I walk away. Yeah, like man, I admire. I cannot do what you do.
That's right.
Praise to the
kids ministry right. people. Out
exactly.
There.
Like I'll cover you for a week. I'll push it. I'll cover you for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But man, this cannot be my long term.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's pray. Let's yep. pray. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you that for what you call us to. We thank you for who you call us to be. How you call us into relationship with you and all these things, we desire it to be an overflow. What we do, how we act, you know, all those things that we do desire to accomplish and go after, let them be an overflow. Let them be an overflow of our relationship with you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us all. I pray that we all got something from the discussion today. I pray that you help us to work mm-hmm. towards that balance of what we do and who we are, and to avoid burnout and to help one another in that, to step into those roles, to prioritize, to delegate, and to pick things up. And Father, that you would sustain us, mm-hmm. Sustain us in our relationship with you, sustain us as we try to encourage and edify one another in relationship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help
continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.